turn this morning to Mark chapter 12. We're getting toward the end of it. And we come to a striking, powerful passage of Scripture in Mark 12, verses 38 through 40, where Jesus is doing one thing, and that is He's giving us all a warning. So before, let's just read it and then we'll proceed. Mark 12, 38 through 40. And in His teaching He said, "Beware of the scribes who like," notice they like this stuff, "they like to walk around in long robes, and they like greetings in the marketplaces." In other words, people seeing them, giving them special honor greetings. They like greetings in the marketplaces. And they like having the best seats in the synagogues. And it's implied they like the places of honor at feast. But here's what's really true of them, Jesus said, verse 40. Here's what they really do. They devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, or pretending, it's a show, it's an act, for pretense, make long prayers. And here's what Jesus said is the end of such people. They will receive the greater condemnation. What a thing. Jesus wasn't speaking here to gain the liking of the scribes and Pharisees. He wasn't teaching His first chapter on His future book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. They would not have liked hearing this. Jesus is giving a warning. What kind of warning? Here's the warning. Beware of pretending to be religious. Beware of religious pretense. This is a warning. Now, if you were to look at the parallel passages in the Gospels, this is found in Matthew 23, the first seven verses. It's also found in Luke chapter 20. Matthew's wording is different. Luke's words in Luke 20 are exactly the same as Mark here. Beware, Jesus is saying, of acting Christian when you're not truly a Christian. Beware of acting religious when it's only an outward show. It's only external. Now, let me give you two scenarios. Which do you think is better? If a person's not a Christian, just to be pagan, just to be real, just to be what they are, no pretense, no outward religiosity, or a person who's not a Christian, wanting to be the best they can in front of other people. So when they're around Christian, they behave differently, they act good outwardly. When they hear people talking about religious things, they can throw in a phrase, "Well, the good Lord is sure good, isn't He?" They give an outward appearance of being religious so as to fit in. Which of those two scenarios is better than the other? The first one is more real and better, really, isn't it? Because the second one, God is not impressed, nor does He like. In fact, He abominates and He hates religious external actions where people are trying to give the appearance of being something outwardly to others that they're not inwardly real. One thing is true about flowers, is you can see beautiful flowers. They can all look the same. They can all appear beautiful. But there are flowers, aren't there, that look real, that seem like they're real, but they have no life and no real fragrance. Why? Because they're what? Artificial flowers. And sometimes it really is very difficult to tell the difference when you're just looking outwardly. Well, Jesus here is talking about artificial ministers and preachers and artificial Christians that aren't the real thing. And he says, beware of this. Watch out for this. Discern this. Recognize this. And do not be like this. Beware of pretended piety. Beware of hollow holiness. Beware of plastic purity and fake fruit and pretended prayerfulness and surface sanctity and proud humility that's just an act. Beware of fake religion and fake ministers. Beware of religious people who want everyone to think that they're righteous or okay when inside they're a mess. Jesus addresses this warning not to the scribes, but about the scribes. He said, beware of the scribes. He's teaching still in the temple, and he's addressing all who hear him, and he's talking about the scribes as being examples of what not to be. Don't be like them. Don't act like them. That's what he's saying here. Jesus here is not trying to change the scribes' behavior. He's warning and exposing against their behavior. Religious acting. And the age-old word begins with an H. What? Hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Think about this question. If a person is a Christian, a real Christian, and they mess up, they're inconsistent, they blow it, they lose their temper. You know, I've said to my grandchildren before, you need to be patient and love one another. The next day I got irritated at them and, you know, kind of spoke harshly. Well, when a Christian messes up or is inconsistent or sins, are they being a hypocrite? Now just see how you answer that question. Is it hypocrisy as a Christian to have any inconsistencies or fail? Is that hypocrisy? No, I see some nods. Is this a nod or is this a nod? No, it's not hypocrisy, is it? What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is not that. Hypocrisy is this. Play acting. Putting on a front. Intentionally to give the outward impression of being religiously good, of being something that is not truly who you are inside. How many Americans probably do this? They never pray. They don't think about God. But when they're at the family gathering and there's a prayer at the end of it, and the one praying says amen, they say amen too. Giving an outward appearance of trying to be religious. Being something that is not who you truly are inside. And portraying outwardly an impression to others so they will think that you are a God-fearing person or religious or that you're okay. So Jesus gives a stern warning about this here in this passage. And he says something quite remarkable at the end of verse 40. He says, these people, such people, have a greater condemnation awaiting them, coming to them. Now, what's the warning here? Let's just go back to verse 38. What's the warning here? He breaks it down. And Jesus is going to paint these pictures of what the scribes do. And often what religious people who want to appear to be righteous or appear to be Christians, it applies to them as well. What's the warning here? First of all, in verse 38 and 39, he tells us, beware of wanting to appear to be spiritual to others. Now, none of us are ever guilty of that, are we? We want to put our best spiritual foot forward, and we want everyone, when they are around us, when they observe us, when they hear our words, we want them to think that we're a spiritual person. This is certainly a trap. Jesus is warning of wanting to appear as being spiritual to other people. That's what's in verses 38 and 39. He says, beware of this. This is what the scribes are like. They like doing these things so as to appear outwardly that they're okay. And it's amazing. He says they liked this. The scribes liked doing all those things. They enjoyed it. They found pleasure in doing it. They wanted to do it so as to gain this certain reputation, and they even liked it. They liked the image and reputation that it brought to them of appearing really religious, of appearing as a good spiritual person. So Jesus illustrates this danger with four things the scribes did in verses 38 and 39. And notice all of these things that they did, Jesus enumerates four things. All of them were outward, external religious actions. Let's see what these are. Verse 38, first one was, he says, they walked around in long robes. And they liked doing it. Now, what was this? It was obviously the scribal priestly garments. You've seen different kind of religions, whether Orthodox religion or Roman Catholic priest, or there are even some Protestant ministers that wear robes, clerical clothing. And they liked doing it, Jesus. They liked putting these on, and they liked walking around in them in public so as to appear holy. So others would think, man, there's a rabbi. He's a holy man. These guys liked doing that. The priestly garments, the priestly collars. You've seen the Anglican or Episcopal priestly collar. The Catholic priest wears them. And it's the outward appearance, it's the outward clothing of this is a holy man of God. All religious dress, they took pride in it, and they liked being seen in it. When others, there would have been this kind of motive secretly in their mind. When others see my robe and my official, best, religious, nicest Sunday clothes, they will all view me as being a spiritual leader. Outward adornment. And in their hearts, they even felt, and I like that. I like people seeing me in my Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, in my best clothing. I like to appear as being honoring God with my outward adorning and my outward appearance. Long robes, they walk around in them and they like it. The next practice, look at the next one, verse 38. They like the greetings in the marketplaces. Now obviously, the scribes, the Pharisees would walk around in the city of Jerusalem, in the markets, they would walk by, and what would the Jewish people do? They would see the rabbi, they would see the Pharisees, they would see the leaders of the Sanhedrin, and they would give them greetings, special greetings. They might call out, Rabbi, Rabbi, so nice to see you today. And these scribes loved those public religious greetings. Why? Made them feel important. They see that I'm holy. They know who I am. They know I'm pastor of First Baptist Church, county seat, town. They're giving me the honor due me. They love the greetings in the marketplaces. They loved hearing people say, Rabbi, Rabbi. Or they love maybe hearing secondary. They eavesdrop. They might have heard someone saying to a friend, "Boy, he's a scribe. He's an important scribe. He's an expert in Moses' law." Lacking the greeting that gives them outward honor before men. The third practice, Jesus said, is found in verse 39. What else did they like? Look at it. They liked having the best seats in the synagogue. Now, what does this mean? Well, in the synagogue, there would be benches or chairs, and at the front, there would have been a built-up platform where the public reader of Scripture would stand and read, or where there might be a music leader. They would sing from the Psalms. But there were seats right up in front of the platform facing outward. There would be some up here facing the whole congregation. And the scribes, being the religious leaders, they got those most important seats. And they sat up here facing the congregation, and everyone could see that they were the most important guys in the house. They loved having the chief seats in the synagogue. And would have often had... Jesus says they liked it. So they would have had the attitude in their hearts, "I wonder if everyone's seen me yet. I wonder if everyone sees that I'm the rabbi that's setting in today." They loved the most important seats. And then the fourth practice, verse 39, Jesus said, they liked the places of honor at the feast. What were these feasts? They were the Jewish feast, the special feast where they would have the festivals and the big meals and the feasts, and these would go on sometimes for days, the religious feasts and festivals of Israel. And there would be main tables for the leaders to be at, and these scribes loved having the best seats at the head table so as to appear important and so that everyone would see that they were the most important leaders at the feast. They wanted, the bottom line of this, they wanted the public appearance, the praise, the applause, and the reputation of men so as to appear righteous and religious. Such religious leaders, they were consumers and harvesters. They consumed the admiration of others. That's what they wanted. They harvested self-praise and self-promotion. They liked the public recognition and the prominence. Dressing the part. The greetings. The best seats in the synagogue and in the festivals. They loved the power and the position and the influence. And Jesus says to everybody, beware. This is a danger. This is not of God. This is religious sham. It's religious emptiness. And Jesus sums it up. In fact, turn to Matthew 6. I want us to read this. He says it in a different way in Matthew 6. We're not going to tarry long in this passage, but Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says the same thing. And he hits at the motive here. Listen to what he says, Matthew 6, verse 1. Here's another warning. Beware. Beware of what? Practicing your righteousness before other people. Is this not a temptation even for a Christian? Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Here's the motive. In order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. That what? Here's their motive. That they may be praised by others. Wanting to be seen by others, wanting to be praised by others is the motive. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you give to the needy, do it secretly. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues, at street corners. Here's the motive: that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. Look at verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Don't pray fancy, flowery, long prayers, because you will either have a motive of impressing others, or you're going to give the appearance of that. That's what you're trying to do. Verse 7. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, verse 8, Jesus gives the warning. Don't be like them. Don't be that way. Don't play the religious game. To be seen by others, to be heard by others, to impress others. Solomon said this, the wisest man who ever lived, second to Jesus. Solomon said, it is not good to eat much honey, nor is it good to seek one's own glory. That's Proverbs chapter 25. Now remember in John, Jesus said to the Jewish leaders in John 5, He hit their motives when He said this. He exposed them. How can you believe, how can you truly believe in God when you receive glory one from another and you don't care about the glory that is truly from God? How can you believe? It's impossible. I cringed one time while attending a conference, and there were some well-known guys speaking. And the leader of the conference stood up, and in introducing a main speaker for the first time, here's what he said. I'm paraphrasing. Our speaker today is one of the five best expository preachers in the world today. He's this. He's that. He's this. He's that. And it grieved me, because I thought, do we, listening to this guy, are we supposed to worship him, or are we supposed to hear God's word from him? Do we really need to hear that? And more than that, does he really need to hear that? Because he might believe that press, and what happens? That doesn't help those attending, and it sure doesn't help the preacher if he's tempted to believe that praise. Beware, Jesus said, of seeking after, liking, wanting, enjoying, or believing the praise and applause of men. The Bible says all over the pages of Holy Scripture, God hates and He abominates religious pride and hypocrisy. Now, you don't need to turn there, but in Matthew 23, Jesus did it in Matthew 6. In Matthew 23, He pronounces 7 judgments. When you read in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus said, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you, those are pronounced judgments. And He pronounces 7 different judgments on those who are seeking to appear to be spiritual to others. And in that chapter, it specifically says this: they all do their deeds to be seen by others. And then He said to them, you are those who clean up the outside of the cup. In other words, the outward appears clean and good and right, but inside, they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Matthew 23, Jesus said to them, you outwardly appear to be beautiful and righteous, but inside, you are full of uncleanness. You remember the two guys who went into the temple to pray? Who were they? The Pharisee and the publican. They both went into the temple to pray. And the Pharisee prayed first. And what did he pray? Oh God, I thank you that I'm so good. I thank you that I'm not like other men. Implication, I'm better than other men. I thank you that I'm not like that wicked, unclean, Gentile tax collector over there. Because I tithe, I fast, I give, I perform, I work, I'm good. Oh God, aren't you impressed with me? Was God impressed with him? The publican, on the other hand, what did he do? He was so ashamed of his sinfulness. He so felt his sinfulness before a true, holy God, that the Bible says Jesus said he wouldn't even lift his head up to pray. He felt his unworthiness, and what did he pray? Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Did you know that's the only prayer God will hear of a non-Christian? Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the only prayer God will hear by a religious hypocrite. And the Bible says that that tax collector went home, how justified and forgiven, unlike the Pharisee. You know, it is amazing how much God Himself in the Bible condemns and expresses disdain and hatred for and being sick of artificial, hypocritical religion. Now, I rarely quote the Living Bible, and you can stone me today if you want to. But listen to what Isaiah chapter 1, that God directly says to Israel when God is just fed up to hear with their artificial, hypocritical religious performance when their hearts are far from Him. Here's what Isaiah 1, 10 through 16 says. Listen, you leaders of Israel, you men of Sodom and Gomorrah. I call you now. Listen to me. Hear what I am telling you. I am sick of your sacrifices. Don't bring me any more of them. I don't want your fattened rams. I don't want to see your sacrificial blood offerings. Who wants your sacrifices when you have no sorrow for sin? The incense you bring to me is a stench in my nose. Your holy celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days of fasting, even your most pious meetings, are all frauds. I want nothing more to do with them. I hate them all. I cannot stand the sight of them. In other words, why don't you people just stop coming to church if you're playing the hypocrite? Stop giving your offerings. Stop your praying. Stop your religious actions. God says, I'm fed up with it. I don't want it. That's Isaiah 1. And then he says, from now on, when you pray with your hands stretched out to heaven, I will not look or listen. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Why? Because your hands are those of murderers. And remember, Jesus said, if you hate others in your heart, you've murdered them. So murder is not just something outward, it's something inward. If you have a bad, sour, hateful, bitter attitude toward others all the time, you have a heart of a murderer. Your hands are covered with the blood of your innocent victims. Here's what God says. Wash yourselves. Be clean. Repent. Turn from all the outward religious show and be real. Let me no longer see you doing all these wicked things. Quit your evil ways. Jesus' stern warning about religious hypocrisy. Now let's just apply this to our hearts just for a few minutes here before we're done. Here's a question. When you read something like this in the New Testament, it's wise to stop and ask yourself, am I only a religious person outwardly, but it's all really a farce, a fake, and not real? It will be a scary, a terrifying thing to be a religious person in this world who's not a true Christian, that never had a real heart for Jesus Christ, and you try to act that way outwardly in front of others, only to die in your sins and stand before God and for Christ to say to you, depart from me, I never knew you, you were only a religious hypocrite. You played the act in front of others so they would think you love me and you never loved me. Depart from me. Beware of the subtle power of religious deception in becoming like this, acting in a way outwardly that is not what you truly are inwardly. Don't clean up the outside and give a good appearance when inside you are yet full of sin and pride and lust and greed and hypocrisy. It's evil for anyone to make others think that you fear God and love God and know God when nothing in your life shows it. Beware. In other words, stop acting like you're a Christian to others if you're not one. Because outward appearance means nothing to God. Stop putting religious emphasis on the outward and having an appearance of righteousness because God doesn't care about that. External performance doesn't earn anything with God. Now, what were these scribes really like? Verse 40 tells us. Look what Jesus said about them again. He said, here's what they do. They devour widows' houses. How was this? Perhaps it was priestly house-to-house visitation. They knew those who gave into the temple offering. They knew those who were wealthy. They knew these widows who would have been susceptible to being used. And so these scribes would take advantage of these widows. And Jesus said, would devour widows' houses. These men, these religious leaders, these televangelists, if you will, shall I go on? Use their religion and their powerful influence and their charisma and their way with words to be friendly and loving and supportive to try to get everything they can, to milk everything they can off those widows and devour everything they have for the gain of religious prosperity. Jesus says, these guys aren't real. They're just wolves devouring even widows' houses. Beware of them. Leonard Ravenhill used to listen to guys beg for money on the TV, the evangelists, who would say, please send me $50 to help us stay on the air. And Ravenhill said, I'll send him $1,000 to get off the air. Beware of religious leaders who devour others for financial or personal gain. Beware of them. They're greedy. It's greediness. Not only greed Jesus exposed, but he said also in verse 40, he said this, who for a pretense make long prayers, pretended long, flowery, fancy prayers. And their motive is not seeking God. Their heart's not toward God. It is to impress others. When we pray, are we mindful of others, wanting them to think how spiritual our prayers are? Or, regardless of who's around, do we have an audience of one and we don't care what others think of our praying? The publican in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That was his public prayer. He was heard of God. His prayer was answered. His prayer pleased the Lord. Pretended prayerfulness, long prayers, fake prayers, false prayers are unheard because there is pride within. Jesus is calling us to just be real. Don't be religious. Don't pretend religion. Don't pretend righteousness. Don't be like the religious leaders who do that. Paul said in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not what? Meat or drink. It's not in the outward. Festivals, what you don't eat, what you do eat, what you do wear, what you don't wear. Now the Bible calls all Christians, especially women, to modesty. So there are things outwardly that are important. But we're talking about external religious appearances and performance that we think somehow will either merit something before God or will make others think we're spiritual. Jesus warns against that. Because the kingdom of God, Paul says, is not meat or drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And all of that is in the heart, internal. It's not outward. Beware of being like false religious people. Let's pray together. Father, some words of our Savior in the Scripture are just so clear and uncompromising, so to the point, so direct, so such a rebuke, that all we can do is examine our hearts and to be honest and say, does this apply to me? Am I like this? Is He exposing me as well as exposing the scribes? Lord, help our religious life to be true and genuine from the heart. Help us to be true Christians and not fake ones. Lord, we don't want to have a greater condemnation. The condemnation of God on the judgment day, it will be worse than people who were just sinners and didn't try to act like they were religious. Lord, apply this to our hearts. Cause us to be real in every way. Bless Your word to our hearts today. And the rest of our day, Lord, may it be a pleasure and a joy, not only to You, but to us as well. Thank You for the worship of God today, the gathering of Your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed. Thank You for being here. All men who can come tonight to the men's study at 5:30, we welcome you.